Thankful that Irene and Ricky today decide to have a time of dancing. I just feel it's really, you know, God really arranged this. When we were dancing there, I really see that we already have some kind of reality or intimacy with God already. You know, we all not sit there to, you know, listen or just sing few songs. We engage ourselves, participate. Amen? I just want to ask you, how did you feel when you were dancing? This will be part of my sermon. I will skip some of the part because you're already there. So how did you feel? I think everybody's different. So I want to ask Sharon, when you were dancing just now, how did you feel? What did you sense in terms relate to God? Wonderful. This already has intimacy. I don't need this message. I really mean it. Yeah. How about Ricky? Yeah, besides wedding. Joy. Wonderful. Yeah, you sing. How about Irene? You, Cindy, you're... Okay. Unity, okay? Because we all do the same thing. Yeah. How about Irene? Well, you were very joyful. How about Robert? Different kind of dance. Wonderful. How about Francis? Wonderful. That's the best time, right? When you dance. How about Dan? Okay. It's okay. How about Luke and Christina? Joy. Yeah. Luke. Awkward. Well, we need a different view. That's fine. Yeah. Why do you feel awkward? Because you don't used to this. Yeah. That's right. I just wonder, two of you kind of follow some videotape? Or no, you just come out your... Oh, you made it. Wow. The author of this dance. Molly. Joy. Okay, today, you know, I just want to talk about cultivating an intimate relationship with God. In certain way, you already have. Just now, you dance to Him, right? You unwind yourself. You know, you're not just being rigid or, you know, act out. You know, you just open. When I was dancing just now, I just feel like a child. Amen? Like a little child, just very dance to the daddy. No matter how awkward, how professional, whatever. We dance from the heart. I think the first point I want to share with you, you know, our relationship with God is a journey. It's a journey. So we need to go deeper. In this journey, we from being a servant to being a friend. I think as a believer, many times we think of God, we always think about what God required from us, right? We're easy to think about the requirement, the commandment, about the work. But we need to go beyond that. We need to go beyond. And sometimes when we have the minister fellowship, I just ask them, if we don't talk about ministry, if we don't talk about any project to do for the Lord, do we have anything to talk about? Besides, as horizontal about God, right? We should switch our focus, not just God's work only. It's about God Himself. So I think we need to being a servant to being a friend. So Rogelio, can you post out the scripture here? John 15, verse 14 to 15. So we will read together. We have a lot of scripture. We have to go fast. Already 10, 17. We had so much fun today. Okay, let's read together. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because the servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Jesus addressed his disciples, said, I call you friends. If you do my commandment, you are my friends. But more than that, Jesus told them about what Father told him, what's on Father's heart. I think that's very important. We receive Jesus as Savior and the Lord. Of course, status-wise, you know, he's our master, we are the servant. But if we only have that master and servant relationship, that's very distant. Agree? If the person comes to you, always ask you to do things only, maybe that's your relationship in your workplace. So that's not a close relationship. Just now, you know, I listened to you guys sharing just now, each one, you know, it's very precious. You know, Marlene shared about that bride's wish to her nice wedding. You know, I saw her crying 2 days before. We went to the Huntington Library in Pasadena. She was in tears. She said, I pray for my wedding day, it'll be a nice day. But the Lord truly humbled me. She said, the Lord truly humbled me. She said, I already prepared. If the weather is so cold, they will put a black jacket, big coat on me. That looks so stupid. She said that she was crying. We all comfort her. I didn't have anything to comfort because I look at the weather, the forecasting, even though I give the message by faith, not by sight. I totally by sight. They say, oh, Joseph, it will be 60% chance of shower. I said, oh, God. So I walked to her. I said, you know, I say several, I don't know what to say, you know. What I try to say is something I even don't have much faith. But I want to tell you, even we are in that condition, the Lord care for you. The Lord love you. The Lord see you and I as a friend. And on Friday, my faith really had a breakthrough. Because that morning, I live in Covina, you know, very far away. It's 1.5 hours away. We were driving, and my friend told me, you know, the good news and bad news. The good news is the chance of shower on beach is less than Covina. The bad news is still have chance of shower. So we were driving there, and when we approaching on the highway one, wow, it's sunny. And also, I think last Sunday I probably shared a little bit, you know, it was amazing. On that beach, particular beach, that area is sunny. But just 1 mile down the road is cloudy and overcasting. The reception place, the weather was lousy, very cold. So they moved the reception indoor. So God is gracious. He cares for you and me. Just now, just listen to you guys sharing, you know, different issues. She wants to see the well, you know, people. The non-believer or people don't know the Lord. They say, oh, very self-centered, selfish, silly prayer requests. You just want to see the well, so you pray to God. God, let the well come up. I will not comment on that. But I will say, sometimes this is really a mystery. What I want to say is that God really cares for you and me. He wants you to be his friend. Not just work for him. Work all the time. Friend. I want you to hear this. I not stick to my manuscript today. I'm very inspired by the dancing. All the worry all gone. I don't care. It's God's worry. Amen? You need to respond like African-American church. Amen? Amen. Give all the worry. Like, for instance, such a wise woman. You know, when dance is... I really mean it. We should dance till the end. We dance unto the Lord. That's the best conclusion. Today, instead of meditating on the words, we need to dance to the Lord. Action. Amen? I just wonder, did you guys meditate on the Psalm 27 Saturday? Oh, that's the practice today. I feel the Lord wants to do. Which verse are you guys on? The whole Psalm? Okay. Wow, we are on the same page. Did I give you that verse? Oh, I forgot. I cannot remember. Too many things. We not just be a friend with God only. We need to be lover with God, from being friend to lover. This little bit distant, you know, to a guy, you know, to the Asian guy, you know, macho, and they say, how can I be lover with Jesus? But in the book of Song of Solomon. How many of you read the Song of Solomon? So when you read that, when you read that, what kind of impression? What did you learn from there? What the world is a book like this in the Bible? But you know, that book has profound meaning. The King Solomon represents Christ. And the Shunammite woman represents church or each individual believer. It can be interpreted that way. So it's the love songs. Okay, let's read one. I don't know. Rogelio has that one. I'll give you an example. Song of Songs, chapter 1, verse 15. That's from the God's perspective. When God sees you, he say, "How beautiful you are, my darling. Oh, how beautiful. Your eyes are dolls." So what I try to say is, God desires us to have intimate relationship with him like lovers. When he look at you, he say, "How beautiful you are." This is transcend gender, you know. How handsome you are, how good looking. I give you an example. To every parent, their children are always beautiful. It's very subjective because of love. For every God's child, he or she is beautiful. When he look at you, he says, "How beautiful you are." I share this many times. Sometimes we look at ourselves in the mirror, we don't feel we are beautiful. Everybody have their problem to accept their physical appearance. People always say, "I'm too tall, I'm too short, I'm too fat, I'm too thin," whatever. But when the Lord look at you, he say, "You are perfectly fine. You are beautiful." Dear brother and sister, you need to receive this by faith, not by sight. Not by your sight, by God's sight. And in the Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 16, the bride responds, you respond to God, say, "How handsome you are, my beloved." So the Lord wants to upgrade our relationship with him from the servant to friend to lover, which need to be cultivated. You talk about lover relationship. There's a man in the Old Testament. He really knows this relationship with God can be so intimate. Actually, yesterday you can meditate on the Psalm 27 was the song by him. So what's his name? David, right? King David. God gave him a remark on him. What's the remark for King David? A man after God's own heart. Wow. That's a big statement, right? I just wonder, you know, King David is such a major Bible character in the Old Testament. So when you think about King David, what came to your mind? What kind of person you think about him? If you give him a statement, what kind of person? Don't use God's statement, okay? Warrior, what else? Musician, worshiper, right? Anything else? Poet. He wrote a lot of poems, right? Warrior. He's very anointed. It's an anointing of transformation. Those people follow him, those discontent, broken people, he changed them. Also, from the negative, he was a lousy father, right? He's a womanizer, he committed adultery. It's a lot of dark side of him. But when it's very amazing, when God look at David, dear brother and sister, if you haven't heard anything, I want you to really listen to this. When God look at David, he didn't comment on his accomplishment. He didn't say anything about his weakness. He talked about, "I found a man who is after my own heart." Isn't that important? Dear brothers and sisters, this is the key that we can have an intimate relationship with God. It doesn't mean we don't serve the Lord. It doesn't mean we don't pursue the excellence. It does mean it starts with the relationship. Amen? If you don't have intimate relationship with God, you don't have a profound relationship with him, in the time or trial, you will fall. on your face. Because a lot of things, when suffering comes, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to us. Amen? There's a lot of factors, mystery we don't understand. Why the good thing, why the evil thing happened to the good people? We don't understand. Very nice guy, very nice girl, suddenly car accident, whatever. Drunken driver hit a nice person. Right? We don't understand that. There's a lot of things happen. King David was a man after God's own heart. Then you wonder what his heart desired. Why his heart's God comments on that. Now let's read Psalm 27, verse 4. Already to the next. I don't have time to read that verse. So. Okay, let's read. One thing I ask of the Lord. This is what I seek. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. Do you think this is a little bit too extreme? King David said, can I continue here the verse? He said, only one thing he asked of the Lord is what? What the thing he asked? In other words, you come to GCQ, you sit in the sanctuary, don't go anywhere. All the days of my life to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. Can King David actually do that? He can. He still has a lot of work to do. So what he tried to say is he really wants to focus on the Lord's beauty, on the Lord only. Amen? Are you with me? Are you ready for dance? How long can you gaze at the Lord, gaze on the Lord? It seems like King David's spiritual eyes were open. He can start to see the beauty, splendor, glory of the Lord. Can you? Can I? We need the word of the Lord, right? We're going to practice a little bit toward the end. Now we can practice a little bit, we can dance a little bit, we have both. Can dance all the way to leave this sanctuary. So next service, people can dance in. I was suggested to dance too. We already have floor. I think the King David, he really saw God's beauty. He enjoyed God's presence. If you go to study the life of David, he had a very difficult time before he became king. He must see the Lord's beauty and glory and live in His presence. Actually, God is beautiful, is profound. In Romans chapter 11, verse 33 to 34, Apostle Paul explored about the theological argument about God's sovereignty, His wisdom. He say, oh, the depth of riches of wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable His judgment and His path beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been His counselor? God is so wise, very wise. So don't be discouraged. Sometimes we ask for something, we ask the Lord to lead something, it haven't happened yet, or not necessarily go the way we expect, because His way is higher than our way, right? We know that in theory, but that's reality. God's way is higher. How many of you here face challenge and difficulty in life right now? I want to encourage you. God's beauty also in His wisdom. He's very wise. Also, He's very detailed. When I listen to the Thanksgiving, you know, right now we have this culture with both Mandarin and English congregation. The Mandarin congregation, sometimes they just one by one, they cannot wait. Some people share very trivial things, very small thing. But you know, God's love shows in the small thing. I heard some people say, oh, I have a craving for certain kind of food, chou doufu. And behold, the Lord just provided opportunity for me. You know, that shows we are friends with Him. Amen? A friend in need is friend indeed. God cares for you. Even you think it's a very small thing. It's not, oh, I need a Bible. No, I just want, I have a craving. People have craving for something, right? They drive a long way to eat that, just for that moment. And the Lord provide. Isn't that wonderful? I think that's also King David's experience with God. You know, he enjoyed God's presence. You know, King David know God so well that he rather to be punished by the Lord rather by man, because God is gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. And also we see when King David was in a very difficult time, he revealed his trust in the Lord. Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 30. Verse 1 to 6. Okay, let's read together. David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day. Now the Amalekites had... Let's read together. And Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag and burned it. And they had taken captive. But carried them off as they went on their way. When David and his men came to Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire, and their wife and sons and daughters taken captive. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. David was greatly distressed, because the men were taking of stoning. Each one was bitter in spirit because his sons and daughters. Can we leave there? It was an incident, you know, when David and his men went back to a certain city, Ziklag, and all their family members, their wife, children, in gone, being captive by Amalekites. And there were 600 men following him. Those are distressed, discontent people. But David loved them, received them, and trained them to be warrior of God. But this time the situation is so bad. What did they do first? They wept so loud. When was last time you cried so loud? That's very hard for man, warrior, to cry loud. It must be so sad, so bad the situation. Also, they wept to the extent they lost all their strength. They probably wept a few hours. And the next, they became very bitter. They started to blame the leader, blame David. So they think about stoning him. Can you imagine your team member going to kick you out? It's worse than that. They're going to stone David. And that David himself, his two wives were captured. All his stuff are gone. You know, everybody on the same boat. But the last verse, I'd like you to read. But David found strength in the Lord his God, Jehovah, the one who makes things happen. He must have intimate relationship with God because he desired to gaze at him, he interact with him. So maybe you ask, how can we develop intimate relationship with God? First of all, we need to know and experience God's emotion towards you. That's very important, dear brother and sister. When I ask you, when you think, what your perspective, what do you think God think about you? What kind of emotion, at least according to the Bible, what kind of emotion God has for you, Christina, based upon the Bible? Huh? Love, right? What else? There's a lot of scripture about us. According to the Song of Solomon, God cares. God really thinks we are cute. We are lovely, adorable, right? John 3:16, God so loved the world. God so loved us. God have the agape love for you. A lot of people say, Pastor Joseph, this is theoretically speaking, yes. That's true. We have to be real, right? A lot of people say, yeah. But I'm an exception. God love all the, not me. You know, I'm dark and ugly. You know, in Song of Solomon, I'm dark but beautiful. The shepherdess, the female shepherd. You know, I'm dark but beautiful. I'm weak, but I'm lovable. I think it's very important. We need to know and experience God's emotion for you and me. The reason I say that, a lot of people, we grow up in a very negative environment. Our upbringing, adolescent ages, our childhood, our parents, our authority figure were very negative. They criticized you because they thought that's the only way to love you. They want you to be better, so they tell you all the negative part, you know, all the weakness. So we grew up that, with that kind of environment and background. We easy to carry over when we believe in God. When we hear about Heavenly Father, we, oh, again, associate with our earthly father, earthly parents, the negative perspective feeling. We feel God, whenever God thinks about me, he either mad or sad, disappointed. I cannot do this. That need to be changed. That need to be changed by meditating on God's word, by experiencing. Amen? Otherwise, we come to him, we always say, oh, God, forgive me. I failed this, I failed that. It doesn't mean we should not confess our sin. But we come to the Lord, have more than just confess sin, right? We need to adore him. We need to share with him. But before that, we need to experience his emotion toward us. Psalm 103, verse 8 to 13. Did you type that on? Did you have that? Psalm 103? You don't? Okay. I'll read to you. This is God's feeling toward us, okay? Psalm 103, verse 8 to 13. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. I just read this one verse. The Lord's emotion toward each one of you is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. God is not angry at you all the time. No, he's slow to anger. Amen? And also verse 9, he will not always accuse. You feel the sense of condemnation, accusation. It's not from the Lord, dear brother and sister. There's a difference between the conviction of the Holy Spirit and the accusation of the enemy. Conviction of the Holy Spirit will make you to go to the right path. Condemnation, just say, I give up. Amen? Our God will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. Verse 10, he does not treat us as our sin deserves or repay us according to our iniquity. Isn't that wonderful? He gives us discount. His judgment comes, he gives discount. He doesn't just go all the way what we deserve. For as high as the heaven are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgression from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. You can write down this, you know. You can meditate on this. The second practical guideline to cultivate an intimate relationship with God is we need to, there's several things we can do. First, need to long for him. We need to long for God. I want to ask you, after your whole day work, okay, ask each one of you, after whole day work, what are you longing for? May I ask you, what are you longing for after whole day work? Solitude. He doesn't want to, she doesn't want to bother by people. What are you longing for? That's why I leave her alone. You long for food. Okay. Work out. I just want to tell you that you need to long for God, like after the whole day, work is done, long whatever you're longing for. That's kind of longing. Okay, is that clear? Okay. Everything right now is theory, okay? We need to come to practice. Long for him. Secondly, we need to have small talk with him often. You can write down this. This is important. I think we need to learn to have small talk with God. Just tell him, oh, today that dance was good. I like it. I like Ricky the way he danced. His facial expression is, you know, small talk to God. Say, you know, oh, I don't feel good today, Lord. I'm very discouraged. It's fine. God knows anyway. Is that right? I encourage you to small talk to him. On the way to walk, on the way to work, on the way back from work, you talk to him. Small talk. And you talk to him, then you listen. What he responds to you, right? Do we struggle with many things? We feel no one to talk to? Talk to God. It's not a long-distance call. It's local. It's free. That's called prayer. Opening. How come become opening? Oh, the spell wrong, huh? It should be how to spell? O-F-T-E-N. No such words. No, not opening. You privately talk to God. Often, sorry. C is a need to. Can you take out that arrow away? Thank you. We are a very intimate group. Thank you. Thank you. No problem. Yeah. C is need to open our heart to him, you know, being vulnerable to him about our emotion. I think it is sometimes hard for men, you know, we are logical, rational, you know, but it's how we start really being intimate with him is we open our emotion to him, confide in him. Need to pursue him. I think we need to take initiative, proactive to talk to God. Ask him questions. Ask God questions. Why do you allow this thing happen to in my life? Ask him. See how he responds. Amen? Why you allow this thing? Why? It's very difficult for me. Ask him. He might respond in a different way. Amen? Do you agree? Say amen, please. Why you are so silent, all of you? Finally, we need to commit to him. I think you need to ongoing, focus, commit to him. I'd like to invite you to meditate on one verse, Psalm 27, verse 4. Can you put on that verse? Psalm 27, verse 4. I can read to you. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Okay, let's read together. Thing I ask of the Lord, I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, to seek him in his temple. Well, I'd like all of us to meditate on this verse, and you pray to the Lord with this verse. You just start to follow King David's example. Just pray to him, and then you listen to him. Why he speak to you? How about we have 1 or 2 minutes? Let's do that. very short verse. I just wonder, when you meditate on this, or you pray with this verse, or you just reflect on, have you heard anything from the Lord or any impression on your heart just now? If you have, you can raise your hand, you can share. Just use a very short verse. Then you can go home to use all the verse I shared today, you know, Psalm 103, you can do that. We try to develop a relationship with the Lord. Anyone, you sense anything just now? Yes, Christina. The Lord is big. You sense the Lord is big. Wonderful. You gaze at. Anyone else? Robert, did you sense anything when you meditate? Sleep problem. Okay. How about Ricky? Any, you sense anything? We are in New Covenant right now. Our body is the temple of the Lord. We can ask the Lord to fill us, interact with Him 24/7. You don't have to come to church. In David's time, still in Old Covenant. Francis, did you sense anything the Lord encouraged you or? Good ending. Yeah, wonderful. How about Molly? I think that's wonderful sharing. I think that what we see, our perspective, right? What we see, what we gaze on will affect our emotions, all right? My first sermon was by faith, not by sight. And that Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. So we continue gaze on, gaze at the Lord, gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, gaze upon the promise of the Lord, we feel different, right? We gaze on the surrounding circumstance, difficulty, conflict, all this. It doesn't mean we don't resolve that. We gaze upon the Lord gave us strength and solution to resolve the issue. Amen? Let's arise. We'll conclude with a word of prayer. The next service is coming there. They want to dance too. You can see that. Lord Jesus, we want to pray as King David prayed. One thing I ask from the Lord is only to do I seek that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. Lord, we thank You. We are Your temple in the new covenant. So we seek You. We go inside to seek You through the Holy Spirit. You fill us today. Amen. Oh, just help us, Lord, not by sight, but by faith, Lord. Give us the desire to pursue You, to have small talk with You, to talk to You, small talk often, Lord, to open our heart to You, to show our emotion to You, to experience Your emotion to us. Holy Spirit, may You come in this season to refresh us, renew us, strengthen us, Lord. As we conclude worship here, Your work continue. Hallelujah. We have Your promise. Psalm 27, Psalm 103, and many scriptures tell us Your emotion to us. Let us experience that emotion. In Jesus' powerful name we pray. Amen. God bless you. God love you. God adore you.